You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Friday's show. I have my regular guy behind the scene, Tom. How are you, Tom?
That's me, Mr. Regular.
I'm not sure about regular.
I don't know.
I hope you have enough TP somewhere to be regular.
Yeah, I don't. I probably don't.
I don't think anybody does except for the people that bought like 30 cases. I went today just out of curiosity to buy some stuff. I'm not familiar with grocery stores. I just don't shop in grocery stores. And it's wiped. I'm thinking, like, I know I'm late to this parade, but I went just to get some cups, some things I needed. And yep,
paper products. Nothing on the shelves.
Newspapers,
bread. I didn't see.
I saw a little bread. Got to get tortillas if you can't get bread.
Yeah, tortillas. I got some tortillas.
I put my bread away and got tortillas.
Yeah. But other than that, a lot of other stuff. I mean, lunch meats.
Cookies. Yeah.
Cheeses.
I made chili that's going to last a week.
Produce. I've had no problem there.
Like I said, I make chili that's going to last me a week. No one will want to be around me anyway.
Okay.
That'll be your 6-foot buffer right there.
Well, yeah. Well, they're asking you to stay home. So.
And away from people.
There you go.
So I haven't seen you in a week. What's going on?
Just trying to manage with all of this calamity around me, you know.
What's the strangest part of this calamity? You asked me a question about 5 minutes ago.
I'm wondering how much of this that we're dealing with as a calamity, if we want to continue to use that word, is really that much of a problem.
Oh.
Are we really in it up to our necks the way everybody seems to
feel
we are? I know the way we're reacting we are, but does the thing really require this much of a reaction to it?
I would assume so, and I put it this way. I know a lot of people, I have some friends on the right and the left, obviously I'm in the middle, who dismissed this whole thing maybe 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Oh, the numbers aren't that bad. Well, it was the first inning of a long 9-inning game, 1 and 2 now the numbers. And if it affects you, it doesn't affect you until it affects you. And then when it affects you, it's too late, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they didn't have any testing protocols.
Sure.
And they didn't have any testing kits. And
now, they still kind of don't. But it's
true. But the more testing they're doing,
yes,
the more they're finding it.
A guy can't go past 55 or 65 miles per hour and get a ticket if he doesn't have a car. Wait till you give him a car.
But aren't we going to get to a point where the testing has shown, this is how much we're actually facing?
Oh, probably. No one, not everyone's going to get tested, but they will get, they'll know what, if they have the symptoms or whatever. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, if it hasn't already started yet, it's going to be crazy. Not that I want to be alarmist, but that's not the reason why I asked you what's on your mind, because you were in my office, you were in here asking me about something.
Oh. Christian Dawkins?
Yeah, on the U of A.
What
we talked about this earlier this week.
They got some kind of a show coming up on HBO where Dawkins apparently is going to implicate. That's the word I was looking for.
Implicate
Sean Miller. When I was talking with Steve a little while ago, I was trying to find the word that implicate, and I couldn't get it out of my brain. But it kind found its own way out.
What's the word I gave you?
Yeah, what was it? Insinuate?
Oh, insinuate. I think it's more insinuate because it's not implicate. I had Bruce Pascoe on, Tuesday, Wednesday, when he did the big story because he saw the film. I have not seen the film yet. And there was nothing really new that you didn't already know, according to Bruce, because it's been written 1,000 times already in the last 2.5 years. And I've known exactly what's happening and what isn't happening. And his only idea or thought that came out of that was the closeness that Sean had with Dawkins. Everything else you already knew that because it had already come out on trials. So if that's the case, all you know is that he was just closer to Dawkins than that was led to believe.
Which seems to be indicated by the number of phone calls that they're talking about that they had.
Sure.
Okay, so all right. So they had a bunch of phone calls. What do we know about them? What was discussed?
Depends what comes out, but apparently not enough comes out in the movie.
Is that what we were supposed to find out in this HBO
but
thing?
But nothing was said. They would have put it out there. But I think the most damning part, if it is damning at all, which it may not be damning, was the connection of Sean, Dawkins, and Book. Because if, I think the quote was, you know, if I'll have to find it from the Daily Star, but if hold on real quick. No, I want to get it from here.
Well, aren't there some who have brought up the idea that maybe Book fell on a sword for Sean
there's so many ways to look at this thing. Yes.
That could be one angle.
And maybe not enough. But if he was close if Dawkins was close to Book and to Miller, it's almost one and the same. There's a tie there. There's obviously a tie because he was an assistant. We won't get there until we get there, and that's in 2 weeks. I think all this is continued speculation, and
is that when this thing is supposed to air?
2 weeks, yes.
Okay.
So the problem is how much more damage will it show? The damage has already been done, kind of. Outside of the only damage left is not an HBO special.
Well, it's got to make you wonder about the way the team has performed these last couple of seasons.
No. Why?
As to whether this has been a cloud over the team?
No, these kids don't care. This is why they're here for a year. They don't care. They're here and gone tomorrow.
Has it affected Miller's coaching ability?
Maybe. That's a good question. But this HBO special, because it's probably a pimple on somebody's butt. And I say that because that's not the big thing that's going to hit. Eventually, the NCAA is going to hit. And we'll see how big that pimple is. Does that make sense?
But aren't you kind of I'm trying to understand what's taking the NCAA so long. What have you got on that?
Nothing. I would assume that's going to come out sometime soon. And I've been saying that for a while.
Eventually,
I'll say the world's going to end and be right.
Didn't you think that there would have been something earlier than now?
I've heard that there should have been something in this fall. It didn't happen.
This coming fall or last fall?
No. There should have been something in the fall.
Yeah, last fall.
This last fall. It didn't happen.
So that causes you to wonder, doesn't it?
That what? Nothing's going to happen?
What the NCAA has?
Oh, they could be waiting for more stuff. Who knows?
Well, who's doing the investigation for them?
The NCAA.
Are they doing their own?
Yes.
They're not relying on the FBI
anymore?
No, that's over.
Okay. That's over.
All right.
Tom, you frustrate the heck out of me, man.
I'm frustrated. Yes, I'm frustrating myself. Come on.
If anybody wants to call in, after I have Richard Ng is going to be on the show today at 6:15 talking about horse racing. I know some fans listen to that. But horse racing has taken a huge hit, too. It's the only game in town, not in this town, but worldwide, that's actually going on right now. People have the chance to bet on it if you're that type of better. And Santa Anita just kind of shut down, and we'll talk about that. It didn't shut down. They're running the horses, but they're not allowing anybody to go to the horse races, which just makes no sense. They're just running the horses to get them ready for the preps. And we already know that the Kentucky Derby has been moved from May, the first weekend in May, the first Saturday in May, to September 5th.
So the casinos in Las Vegas, they have their betting parlors. What do they call them?
Yeah.
Book areas. Book areas. So in California, can people go to places like that?
They're all shut down. Tom, where you been?
I know, but I'm wondering, can they do that?
Online, but it's not really, they can. I don't want to kind of get into that, but they can if they wanted to.
Well, our guy Richard, when we talk with him, maybe he'll have some insight on that.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so let's go to a quick break. Give Richard a call and come back here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now I have one of my favorite guys, Richard Ng. He's really my favorite guys when I end up on a Saturday, very profitable. How are you, Richard?
Hey, hi, Steve. It's been a little while, but a lot's happened between the last time I was on your show and today.
No doubt about that. Let's start at, I don't even know where to start. We know that the Kentucky Derby is being moved from the first Saturday in May to the, I guess, first Saturday in September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, September 5th, I know, is the day. I haven't even looked that far to see what the September 5th is, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. Now the natural next question will be what will the Preakness do and what will the Belmont Stakes do?
Right, right. I saw that Bob Baffert might thinks that it may even be done away with.
Well, you know, I think his comment is true to the point that the Triple Crown, as we know it, will not be normal this year. I think, knock on wood, Steve, if everything, if the coronavirus finally is defeated and we have some normalcy return to our lives and our country and the world, that maybe in 2021 we'll have a normal regular Triple Crown series of first Saturday in May and 2 weeks later the Preakness, 3 weeks later the Belmont. But this year, all blueprints are out the window in all kinds of categories and all kinds of issues and this, different things happening.
This you're one of the better handicappers. I follow you like crazy and take your advice. How does this mess with your way of doing things in picking horses? And let me probably say this, too. I assume that all these things that are going on is affected your business.
Well, it has, but it hasn't. The focus of my business as far as, what I do handicapping-wise is Southern California. So the effect that has happened on the West Coast actually occurred long before coronavirus was when Santa Anita basically has been running 3 days a week this winter and spring instead of 4 days a week. So mm-hmm. that extra day is a loss. That's basically we lose the Thursdays. But, it has translated into better quality for the 3 days versus the 4 days. And then I do a secondary sheet, which lists the stakes races. I try to focus on the graded stakes races from coast to coast. And, that's maintained okay. But now that we're losing tracks, for example, Aqueduct's going to be shut down for a while. And I believe Gulfstream, which had to shut down today, is coming back. So knock on wood, that's good. And Santa Anita, and it sure seems like that the fairgrounds in Oaklawn Park are going to hang in there. So hopefully there will be enough stakes races in the short term to keep that product going.
It's weird. I guess today it was announced that somebody at Aqueduct came up with the virus. And I don't know if you knew that or not. I was watching TVG getting ready for this, and that somebody up there got affected, reinfected, and now I'm not sure what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's what I was told. I actually got a call about that the other day, and that there was a backstretch employee who tested positive for coronavirus. And, considering, what's been going on and everyone being on edge, and I know Governor Cuomo in New York has been one of the real proactive governors in attacking this virus. I think that was probably a natural, easy call for them to do once that happened, the test positive. But, the thing about horse racing, Stephen, you know this too because you know the sport inside and out. The animals, the horses,
yes,
that are the athletes, they need care 24/7. It's not like if the racetracks are shut down that all the employees go their own way and they keep their social distancing and stuff like that. Well, at any particular racetrack, there could be anywhere from 800 to 1,000 to 1,500 to 2,000 horses, and those horses need to be cared for 24/7. So even if there's no racing, you're going to need and require a certain amount of people, humans, to take care of the animals. And so there's going to be a continuing situation of maybe people in proximity to one another just from the work environment.
Yeah, no question. In fact, what stunned me today, maybe yesterday, I was reading it today, that Santa Anita is going to have races, but media is not allowed, spectators are not allowed, and very few people are allowed.
Yeah, that's correct. Nobody on the front side, except for the people that absolutely have to be there, like the steward and the placing judges, and of course the announcer Frank Miramadi up at the top of the grandstand in the press box. But yeah, everybody else, there's no concessions, there's no seating. It's just going to be the bare bones. I remember many years ago going to the University of Arizona symposium meeting. This was easily, Steve, 30 years ago.
Yes.
And I remember one of the topics was they were talking about, is our sport evolving into the theater of racing, meaning that the races are going to be run and there weren't going to be fans and people were going to bet on them from different locations. Well, now we turn the clock 30 years later and we actually reached it. These racetracks with no fans while they race around the track have all become theaters of racing.
So can you, I didn't get this because on TVG they didn't show it, but can you still bet it?
Not at the track because, well, since there's no patrons, there's probably no mutual clerks.
That's it. Well, what about the OTBs?
OTBs are still going. Of course, you know, that's in a state-by-state basis. OTBs are still going, and, of course, the ADWs are still active. You know, the TVGs, the Twin Spires, and ExpressBet and NairaBet and so forth and so on. So, you know, 100% of the handle is now coming off track.
Wow, wow, wow. So today you could have bet. See, in Arizona, we can't bet Santa Anita or Golden Gate or Gulfstream, I think it is, because they're the Stronach. Is that the Stronach group? That they, I guess they limited the signal here in Arizona. So I haven't really paid attention to a lot of the Santa Anita things. So you're still able, and they're still going to run them and get them ready for what's ahead down the road.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, knock on wood, as long as the governor in each specific state doesn't clamp down and tell the tracks to close. I know, for example, in Maryland, Governor Hogan ordered Laurel and the Thoroughbred track and Rosecroft, the harness track, to shut down. So they are shut down. But as long as Governor Newsom in California allows Santa Anita and Los Alamitos and Golden Gate Fields to run, they will run. And the same goes for Arkansas with Oaklawn Park, same with Louisiana for Fairgrounds, and same with Florida and Gulfstream Park. But there are some, you know, smaller tracks still operating. I saw that Charlestown is going to come back online, so they're going to run. And I guess Sam Houston's been running too.
Wow, wow. So that, again, let me say, if this is the case, I guess your audience is your audience, but I would assume that this would affect your great business that you had. You know, you kind of, I saw your stuff growing up, growing up, you know, whatever, in the Vegas Review Journal. When I was in Vegas, you went to that page, the back page on the Agate page, and picked up your picks, and now you kind of do it online. So I would assume that it's kind of changed things for you too.
Yeah, well, you know, the subscribers, the people that purchase my product, if they're in Nevada, we haven't even touched on that with what's happened locally
here in
Nevada. But those people do not have an outlet to bet. All the casinos are shut down as of midnight Tuesday, and the phone applications were told to turn off by the gaming control board, so there's no betting there. But, wow. You know, a large number of my subscribers come from, you know, across the country, so... So those people are still active.
Wow, this is unbelievable. I have you for a couple of minutes. Maybe if we go over a little, maybe you can come back. But you're in Vegas, right? You're based in Vegas.
Yeah, I live in Las Vegas.
And, tell me how scary it is or weird.
Well, you know, for the folks who were not following the current events in Nevada the last 48 hours, on Tuesday, Governor Steve Sisolak addressed the state at 6 p.m. Local time and ordered all non-essential businesses to close. And that included the casino industry. And to show you how significant that is, Steve, you know, this is the lifeblood of our state. This is where all the vast majority of the revenue comes from. There's no state income tax because of the revenue generated from the casino operations. So all the casinos had to shut down from the top of the state to, you know, Tahoe and the Reno to Vegas to Pahrump to Laughlin. I mean, everything's closed. And so along with that includes all the gaming, which means no sports betting, no horse betting, no mobile phone betting. You know, all the restaurants are shut down.
Wow.
The hotels, nobody. The tourism is ground to a halt. I mean, it's a
ghost
phenomenal
town.
Thing to see. Yeah, I mean, but one thing I want to do is one of these nights, I just want to drive the Las Vegas Strip during this episode and to see if any of the lights are still on, because there's probably going to be hardly any traffic at all driving on the Las Vegas Strip, even on a Friday or a Saturday night.
I saw this movie in a zombie movie, I think, one time. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, you want to stick around for another segment on the other side?
Well, I'd be happy to.
Okay, let's do that. We got to go to break here real quick in about 10 seconds. We'll have Richard talk more about what's going on in the world of what he does and in sports, if we can, here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Why in the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. On with me is Richard Ng, one of the better handicappers, horse handicappers in the world, if not Vegas or country. He nailed the big winner last year at the Kentucky Derby. It paid pretty well, too. It was like 10 to 1, wasn't it?
Well, actually, I take credit for the Belmont Stakes. I had Sir Winston as my top.
That was it.
Yeah, the horse paid like $24 to win, something like that. And I did have Maximum Security as my top choice. He did cross the wire first, but of course he was disqualified.
Right. No, that was a crazy. The whole industry has gone bonkers. The deaths at Santa Anita have been perplexing. A lot of the other things, the drug situation was serviced not too long ago that involved Maximum Security. Just a lot of crazy things. What's going on?
Well, I tell you what, Steve, the timing of the story, the release of the indictments and the arrest of Jason Service, Jorge Navarro, and 25 other horse people, which included other trainers and veterinarians and other people that were involved in this investigation, they were probably lucky in the fact that it only took a matter of hours before, you know, coronavirus took over. And other stories took the headlines. Because in a normal news cycle, I think horse racing would have been, you know, bashed even more high heaven if that had been the main story for, say, you know, a solid week. I know we took a serious hit from those, but you know, I think as lovers of the sport, I know you are and I am, and a lot of your listeners are, you've got to look at it from the silver lining or what positives can come out of it. And the fact is, if those two gentlemen, you know, were cheating and are convicted of cheating in this sport, then it's good to get rid of them and root out the bad players in this game and create what, you know, we consider a level playing field. That is what honest horsemen and all of us handicappers and horse players are looking for, is a level, honest playing field. So if it takes a step in that direction, it's in the right direction for, you know, the eventual health of the sport. It was really difficult pill to swallow, but I mean, rumors about those two horsemen, quite frankly, had been on social media for quite a while.
Oh, really? I did not know that. I think one of the benefactors is Baffert, who's now taking control of the handling of Maximum Security. I think that's correct, right?
That is correct. Gary and Mary West, who own the Maximum Security, turned the horse over to Bob Baffert, so he's got a ready-made champion. As if he needs more riches in his barn. Yeah. But you can't find a better person to handle a horse like this.
And he's got a lot of bullets in the chamber for the Derby. He's got a lot of three-year-olds, a lot of nice ones.
Yes, he does. I mean, if the Derby had been run on May 5th, as the first Saturday in May is normally scheduled, he probably could have had as many as four or five, I'll even say maybe six starters, depending on, you know, the point system for the Kentucky Derby. But now with the Derby going into September, I think, you know, all bets are off, because, you know, that's a long time between the first Saturday in May to the first Saturday in September. You know, a lot can happen. Horses that are, you know, absolutely, you know, at the top of their game now may not be at the top of their game in September. So it could change radically.
Hey, guys, that raises a question in my mind. It's Tom. Will any of the horses age out before the Derby in September? Or is that possible?
Well, the birthday for a horse, for the purposes of our sport, is always January 1st. So, so no one's going to, you know, turn four by September. Now, biologically, they may turn four because, you know, horses have foal dates, and the actual date that they're foaled is on their papers. But, you know, so while chronologically some horses may be turning four, they'll still be considered three, or, you know, whatever. I don't know if I explained that correctly.
Let me ask you, and I hope I don't offend you, I'm asking this question. How old are you? And I want to ask you for historic purposes on things you've seen in Vegas and just worldwide, and how this has affected a lot of things.
Well, I am 65 years old, and I started my horse racing career, Steve, in 1975 at the New York Racing Association. I started in the publicity office and up in the press box. So that's my germination. But, you know, I followed the sport even before then.
The reason I ask is it's just a crazy time in the world and in sports, and I'm talking about sports specific, but we saw last week the NCAA tournament has been canceled. A lot of things have been canceled. The MLB has been pushed back, the NBA, yada, yada. You were probably maybe a teenager when the Mexico Olympics were going on in 68. I think it was 68. The Munich problems in 72. Just, you know, you've seen a lot of things and probably were able to kind of decipher or kind of absorb what was going on. How does this compare, and how do the other ones compare in the things you've seen?
Well, some of the things you mentioned are obviously, you know, historical landmarks in the sports landscape. You know, the 68 Olympics with the Black Power and, the American runners and the Munich Olympics. I remember Jim McKay was doing the reporting for ABC Sports, and they went around the clock covering the hostage crisis there. And but yeah, there have been a lot of historical moments in sports between then and up to now. But you know, this interruption of the season, when you think about it, if you go back through the history books, there's only been a few instances, and a couple of them were involved with player strikes. I think it was. One year, the National Hockey League, I believe, lost an entire season to a labor strike. And then, of course, you've had some of those, strike seasons with the National Football League, and Major League Baseball has been, impacted by strikes. So, it all depends on, how these things happen. But for having coronavirus to, a health epidemic stopping major sports in the National Hockey League and the NBA, potentially affecting Major League Baseball and the National Football League, what it's done to horse racing, the cancellation of the NCAA basketball tournament. You've heard this term, but these are uncharted waters for us as sports fans and as a nation, actually.
Yes. Well, you've been in Vegas for a long time. I'm sure you know some of the guys like you, not so specific to horse racing, but just, the smart guys who do the numbers for basketball and football and all that. They must have just, have you talked to any of them and said, I can't believe this is happening?
Oh, yeah. This is actually should have been the busiest time of year for us here in Vegas, because we'd have March Madness. I kind of lost track about what part of the NCAA tournament we'd be in, whether we'd be in the first round games or the second round games this weekend. I kind of lost track, but we lost the conference basketball tournaments leading into it.
Yeah,
and there's all kinds of action on the board. I mean, it was so strange before the casinos closed on Tuesday, Steve. It was so strange looking up at the board, the sports board, and seeing no games listed. I mean, no National Hockey League, no NBA, no college basketball, no nothing. And it's surreal. It's almost like being in a Twilight Zone episode written by Rod Serling. You just can't imagine it. And, the loss of income is one thing, because usually hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars are bet on these things. And March Madness is so popular. Everybody doing their basketball brackets. I remember walking through the race and sports book on the Monday and Tuesday before the casinos had to close, and you could shoot a cannon through the race and sports book and probably not hit anybody. And even on slower days like that, you would have action. So just so unusual.
Yeah, no question. In fact, today I was making lunch for myself, and I said, maybe this is like an episode of Dallas. People my age might get that, where, the whole season was just a dream and it never really happened.
Oh that's right, when Patrick Duffy's character,
right.
They rewrote him back into the script.
right. Good that you remember that. You almost lost me there for my show. Hey, Richard, I appreciate your time. We got to get back to you once racing's still going on. It's just not as visible.
It's not as visible, but the beauty of having a national network like TVG is anybody who gets that that channel can still watch the races from the tracks that are operating. And that's good. And ADWs are allowed in a vast majority of the states, so people can still participate from their home, off their phone or off their computer. So there's still a lot of ways to stay involved in horse racing.
Right. Well, Richard, appreciate it. How can they find you for your great knowledge?
Well, I tell you what, if I could promote my handicapping sheet, if people want to write this down, it's sold at Ralph Sirocco's website. It's racedaylasvegas.com, and it's spelled exactly as it sounds, Ralph's radio show, but it's raceday, D-A-Y, lasvegas.com. And if they click on my face over on the left side, it goes to my homepage, and I sell my sheet for Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Los Alamitos. And also I do a Saturday stakes sheet, which I'll produce for tomorrow, which has the mostly graded stakes or big money purses from coast to coast. So I'll have that product also. But I sold for $7.50, and I had my first price increase in 4 years in January. So even inflation got to me.
Yeah, good for you, Richard. Good for you. Well, congrats, and we'll talk to you soon, maybe as we get closer to whatever we're going to get close to in the big races.
Anytime, Steve, anytime.
Appreciate it. That was Richard Ng, one of the best handicappers in the country. Let's take a quick break here and come back for our final segment here on 1030 The Voice. Here on 1030 The Voice, I'm your host, Steve Rivera. In with me is my guy, Tom. Tom, how are you, Tom?
Yes, sir, boss.
So before we go into Richard, we were talking about the HBO special, blah, 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 you know, for Sean and the
Christian Dawkins, sports agent. I guess, is that what he is, sports agent?
Yeah, he's wanted to be a sports agent. No,
a wannabe, yeah.
He's no longer that guy. I guess he's trying to do some music stuff before he has everything on appeal, so we'll figure out what happens. But I guess Bruce did a story, Bruce Pascoe, who I had on the show this week, in talking about anything new that came out. Not really, but he did a story, I guess, yesterday in talking to or reviewing the movie, and Dan Wetzel, I think it is. I used to know Dan a long time ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago when I started this business of writing. And he talked about the investigation and the scheme and the coach from LSU, Will Wade, and Sean, you know, because they were pretty heavy into the situation here. And so Will Wade, if you remember, he was suspended for a while by LSU.
USC coach, too.
And the USC, but these two specific. Yeah. Will Wade was suspended for a while, and then he kind of proved that he was not involved. I guess enough for LSU. I'm sure he's still in hot water somehow. But this was the quote from Dan Wetzel. I hope I say it correctly as I kind of read through my mic. "I don't care whether Will Wade is a coach or not. I don't care if Sean Miller is the coach or not," Dan Wetzel said. He's with Yahoo. But if you listen to these tapes and you think Will Wade and Sean Miller are not in on it, I can't tell you what to believe. Okay, but I'm not going to believe, I'm not going to be that naive that they're not involved.
Well, so is he the only one that's listened to the tapes?
No, everybody.
Haven't heard this from anyone else, have we?
No, but Wetzel is interviewed in the movie. He's part of the movie.
Yeah, but I mean, so what is, and I reflect that what he said right back at him. So what? So what, Dan? Who else is supporting you in this assumption?
Well, we don't know because I'm sure if you kind of go through Twitter, I said this too. A lot of people in the 520 and those who love UA and those who love Sean are darn right believers in Sean. But if you get outside of the 520, the national people and everybody else, guess what they don't believe? They don't believe Sean. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
If this was happening to Coach K or this was happening to Bill Self, which some people believe, some maybe Self, but it's okay to accuse them or believe that they're involved, but your own guy, no. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, they all believe what Darling Dick from ESPN has always saying.
Well,
about
yeah, Sean. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but it's like, how can I say this in terms of belief? It's like you have a son who you absolutely love, and he's a criminal. Oh my son, he's involved with a bunch of bad guys. Well, ma'am, he is the bad guy.
But two, Sean is all that Arizona has right now.
What do you mean?
As far as you look at the program, the men's basketball program, if we don't have Sean, what do you have? You got anybody? In the back room that we can bring out? You got anybody?
In terms of what?
Got anybody? As far as taking over?
Oh, there's plenty.
Who?
I won't mention names. That'll be for another column or another discussion on a show. But I would never say that right now. And guess what? You still have a coach. Why would I even go there?
But, yeah, I mean, there's no, I can't see anybody big time on the horizon that would come to Arizona.
This school has been around 120-some years. It'll be okay.
They said
the same thing about Lute. And guess what? Lo and behold, who showed up? Sean, I like this because I get to argue with you. I don't get to argue with the other Tom because we think like, with you, I could argue all day.
But, I mean, it just, you know, you're speculating on what it is about the Arizona fan that they're going to support Sean no matter what. I mean, where else are they going to go? Who are they going to turn to?
The fans or the U of A people? Maybe we're having a bad discussion here.
Well, I don't think you have to be a U of A alumni to support Sean. There's lots of Arizona fans.
No, sure. No, alum fans. They're backing Sean. In fact, I did a radio show yesterday, and I said, and they kind of agreed with me because they're getting the same vibe that it's almost maybe 60-40, 50-50 that some think that it's time for him to go, and obviously the people who believe in Sean think he should stay. And that's where we're at, maybe 50-50, 60-40, whatever, as opposed to what it used to be, which was like 80-20 or 90-10.
So, Steve, are you saying that Sean's fate hinges on this Christian Dawkins program on HBO?
I'm saying that's the last thing I'm saying. Do we have a problem with our communication?
Well, no. I'm listening to you, and I'm trying to figure out what you're saying.
What the hell am I doing on this show? I'm saying wait and see. I've said this in the first half of this show.
Well, you're talking about the stuff that could come out in this show.
No, I didn't say that. And then you're saying it's not going to affect how the Arizona fans support Sean. Get a hold of Tom because this Friday's show is gone as crap. Not that I'm surprised.
Be careful what you wish for.
I didn't say any of that. I said this HBO show is not going to do anything to Sean.
I know, but you're talking about the show in one voice, and then all of a sudden you're talking about people are going to support Sean no matter what.
Yeah, yes. And what's your point there? I did say that.
Where is the speculation about his involvement in all this coming from? Then?
There's been speculation for 2.5 years, Tom.
You're not just pulling it out of thin air.
It's been 2.5 years, Tom.
But then why are you talking about the Christian Dawkins HBO program?
Because you asked about this show. Holy moly.
Somebody put me up to it.
Somebody
they wanted to see if they could get you into an argument with me.
Is there drug testing here? No, you asked and I told you. Oh, God.
All right. Okay, so here we have this speculation about Sean. We have this Christian Dawkins HBO show coming
and
up.
It'll mean nothing.
So what then, Steve? Exactly. What do you make of all of it?
Not a darn thing.
Why'd you bring it up then?
No, because you asked about it.
Because you're going to blame it on me.
I told you what Bruce said earlier this week. There's nothing new from this show. Not a darn thing that you don't already know.
Even the phone calls and this guy, Dan Wetzel, whatever the heck his name is.
They talked about all this. Tom, listen to me. They talked about this. There's nothing new in this document. Guess who's still the coach?
Well, what do you make of Dan Wetzel's comments?
I could give a rat's.
Well, why'd you bring him up?
Because he said this. I'm telling you, he said this. I'm sure a lot of people feel this way. That's why I brought him up.
Okay, who are they? What people?
Guys who write about college basketball and write about stuff like this.
Sports writers. Okay.
Yes. Are you a Sean Miller fan, correct?
Not necessarily. I'm an Arizona basketball program, and I'm hoping for the best for the program. If Sean is the best for the program, okay. If Sean has to go and we got to get somebody else, okay.
Oh, then there's no fight because I'm saying the same thing. Is there another guy that's going to replace Sean? Of course, there's always coaches that'll come in.
I know, but I was hoping I could get you to come up with some ideas.
I would never say that right now. Never.
Because I can't think of anybody right now.
I have a list, a long list.
But they're all employed, right?
Yes. And when the time comes, guess what I'll do?
Can Arizona offer them enough to come?
They got Sean Miller to come.
I know, but look at what these other coaches like.
They'll be fine.
Coach K Arizona, and these other guys are getting.
Don't cry for Arizona, Tom. They'll be fine with whomever they get. Because some simple guy's not going to come here. It'll be somebody that will be able to continue the stellar legacy of Arizona, if that's the right phrase. Holy moly, I'm going to go home and go to sleep after this one, or drink. Well, I wish I drank.
We needed to talk for about 5 or 10 minutes here. Come on. I'm trying to help you out. And you know, what else occurs to me? You and Richard alluded to it in your conversation about empty rooms and empty boards and empty streets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a good opportunity for Hollywood to get out and film some of this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
For future disaster movies.
Sure.
They could have all this back B-roll stuff.
While we're at it, I'm going to take another blood pressure pill and survive this hour that I've been here. Holy moly.
Oh, I wasn't worried. I knew you'd make it.
We still have 90 seconds left.
All right. So do you have a concluding comment about all of this stuff that you brought up?
What the hell are you thinking, Tom? What the hell are you, that's my concluding comment.
Well, I want to hear.
The conclusion is.
What do you think this Dawkins interview is going to amount to?
Not a darn thing.
All right. That's what I was looking for.
Not a darn thing, because everything that.
Conclusion from you.
We already
comment.
Know that this has happened. This is refurbished stuff.
So Shaw's not going anywhere.
Anytime
Christian
soon.
Dawkins or Dan Wetzel.
Are you listening to me?
Whatever.
He's not going anywhere anytime soon. This document means nothing. We all know what's in that document.
So all of this stuff that we've had so far doesn't really amount to a hill of beans.
Wait till the NCAA.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
I love you, Tom.
I know you do.
Oh, I can't wait till next Friday when I have you again.
All right. Well, hopefully there'll be something more to talk about than how you and I think about things.
Oh, geez. Thank you, Tom. I want to strangle you, but thank you. Take care, everybody.
You're welcome, boss.